Do I want restoration? You know, would I speak the same way if Yeshua was here? You know, we need to pray about these and think about these things. You know, so a good daily prayer would be, Father, before you show me another person's fault, reveal my own. That one prayer could transform so many things in our lives, our marriages, our families, our congregations, our friendships, and even our ministries. You see, the closer we come to Yahweh's holiness, the more aware we become of our own need for His mercy. Hallelujah. So, we are to be discerning. We are to discern one another as we go in the world. We need to judge. You know, the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, right? The other day I was at the store and I saw somebody that looked suspicious looking at my children. You can guarantee I was judging that person. And I kept a close eye on the situation and my surroundings. You know, it's not that we shouldn't have discernment. We have to use it with wisdom and humility. You know, Yeshua didn't tell us to ignore, you know, the sin around us, and the streets are flooded with sin. You know, we should be cautious and just realistic to know. Literally flooded with sin everywhere all around us. But before we go and correcting others and helping others, we need to think, well, what's wrong with me? Because if everyone around you has sin attached to them, or some sort of unrighteous attached to them, the question should be, yeah, if everyone around me has some issue, what's my issue? But the enemy has us thinking, glad I'm not like them. Glad I don't have that issue. No. What's my issue, Yah? Tell me what somebody looking at me is seeing, not what I'm seeing for myself in the mirror. Oh, and you know, and a true friend will tell you. They'll tell you. You know, but it's does everyone like you? Why not? Because we have some things going on that maybe don't like you because they just don't like believers of Yeshua. That's what we want to think, right? Or anything to do with the scriptures. But maybe we got some major fault, some major issue, some major thinking we need to go working on. So we need to begin with ourselves before we try to discover what's wrong with everyone else. Allow the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to expose what is wrong within us. You know, so a heart that is continually judging others will be hard. And a heart that is consistently judging itself before Yah will be humble. So many examples in Scripture. So many. You know, Yahweh always gives grace to the humble. You know, he says in James 4, verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, Yahweh opposed the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what he does. So, part of being humble or being humble is just being weak before Yah, asking for his help, but not, oh, Yah, help me to deal with these sinners. No, Yah, help me to deal with this sinner. Help me to overcome. Or show me or something. Talk to me. You know, it might sound great when everyone's saying, you sound great. Things are wonderful. Things are wonderful. When I do a sermon or something, I appreciate and like to hear. I like that. But I appreciate even more is those that don't agree with me, and I'll put a comment about it or something else. See, some people say, why do you feel the need to comment? If you don't have something good to say, don't say it at all. No. As long as somebody says it without cursing or something, I want to hear what they disagree with. I can't tell you how much that's helped me in the past to be open to criticism, and not only open to it, seeking to it, because I want to be better. So I'm going to be better. I want to see what people are saying now. If somebody says, oh, you act too much like Yeshua, well, that's a compliment. That's not an issue. You know, so the complaint might not be as bad as you think, but somebody will see things wrong with you, or they'll hear something wrong in the message, or the, you know, tell me. One of the worst things you could do is not say anything. I had an issue like that. I had a fellowship, you know, and then you know, somebody messed up in the fellowship and nobody says anything is the worst thing. That's not a real brother or sister. They're just as guilty as the person that's doing the issue. Somebody to come out and call it in a way where they're trying to lift you up and not knock you down. That's different. That's different. And the pride of people. Well, I see something I don't like. You know, and publicly calling things out and stuff. No. You see somebody, you judge somebody. Now, what are you going to do about it? All these sinners you think are around you, what are you going to do about it? Are you trying to help them? Praying for them, lifting them up, trying to understand them. Are you just going to call them out and make them feel worse and create a commotion? So think about Yeshua, how he handled these situations and how he carried himself. And, you know, think about that. We shouldn't have issues like this with others because we should be helping others. So hopefully this message is resonating with you. You know, we don't have to like everything everyone does around us or agree with everyone. But if somebody we don't agree with it, you know, the first thing we should be doing is like, okay, I don't agree with that. Maybe I'll go talk about them, pray them. But before I do that, where am I messing up today? What am I doing? How do I need to get better? What I mess up to, what I, you know, and to look for those opportunities. Yeah, it's wonderful opportunities to tell people about Yeshua, but it's an amazing opportunity as well to improve our faults that we're doing every single day. And you see right there, somebody might be listening saying, well, not me, I don't have any faults. Ask yourself right now, what are your faults? What are they? I don't have any, or I can't think of any. Well, pray to Yah. Because they're there. They're there. You know, so Yah, thank you. You know, and show me, Yah, Father Yah. Thank you for your mercy and your patience with us. You know, and as Paul said, of all the sinners, I'm the greatest, right? Now what are we going to do about it? So we'll do some more messages and stay on this topic, but remember, before you start looking at the speck in others, take out the log from your eye. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, I thank you for this blessed day and thank you for all the brothers and sisters that are listening. May we all draw close to you. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters. Yah be with you this day and always, and shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503 Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry. Jesus
loves me, this I know. Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
Thank you. You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. We're back with Amrit Palmer and my friend Mike Bagby. We call him Rabbi Bagby. I hope that's okay and acceptable with our Jewish viewers and listeners.
Well, you know, we're all supposed to be ones that accurately handle the Word of God and in our life experiences. Yes, we have come to have deeper understanding of God's words to us, and hopefully you and my conversations over these months have been helpful to others, because Rhett and I have spent, it's been really the last 5, 6 years, 7 years meeting on Tuesday morning and on Thursdays and sometimes on Saturdays, and we've been discussing different aspects of the Bible and trying to understand it within the cultural context, trying to understand just the language, because we're reading the Bible in English. But sometimes the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words give us different nuances that really bring the message of the Bible home, at least it does for me. So,
yeah, of course, Michael is a biblical historian. He's gone to Israel multiple times. He's married, has 4 beautiful children. He has been a missionary for over 40 years. I'm a radio talk host in my 32nd year. Also, I was a very part-time missionary to Haiti and Africa, and maybe some other places would be construed as that. But anyway, we're here to Mike has a great gift of opening up what's hidden in the scriptures. And I think we all want to know, you know, what the truth is. And so, let's get going, Mike.
Well, Rhett, I want to ask you a question as we begin here. When you think of all the teachings of Jesus, all of his words that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is the one you think is the most impactful for you that you think back on and you refer back to often? What would that be?
Well, my friend Bobby Vendetta became a Christian before me. He was a young bass player in a group that I had. And he said, "I'm born again now." I said, "What is that?" He said, "I've had an experience with Jesus." And he told me that it's written that, "I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out." And that scared me. And then, of course, I heard about Nicodemus. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Make sure you're born again." I try to tell people gently that if you don't know that you know that you know, then most likely you're not born again. And born again really means that you've had an intimate encounter with Jesus, and you know that you have surrendered your life to him. And sometimes, like for me, I felt an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some people may not feel anything. They don't need to feel anything. It's just, but they know that they know. And so I just urge people to have you, you know, surrendered your life to Jesus.
So that I think what you're referring to is that conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus.
Yes.
In John chapter 3.
Yes.
Where the teacher of Israel came to him at night. This was like the chief Pharisee, and said, "We know that you're from God, because otherwise how could you do the things that you do?" And Jesus said, well, let's cut to the quick here. You must have a spiritual birth if you're ever going to see the kingdom of heaven. That one, that conversation, that's what you're referring to, right? And
yes.
Nicodemus, of course, is a bit confused by that. What do you mean I must have a birth, be born again? Actually, the Greek word is born from above. And he said, "Should I crawl up into my mother's womb again?" And Jesus says, "No, we're talking about spiritual things here. And as the wind blows and you don't see it, but you feel it, this is kind of the things of the Spirit." And basically, what Jesus was describing is an experience with God that you actually acknowledge him as Lord. You are walking in a certain direction, guided by your own instincts and the earthly culture around you, and then you stop, you consider your state, you consider your need for God, and then you actually repent, you turn around, and you walk toward God, and you ask for forgiveness of your sins, and God hears your cry. He considers the sincerity of your heart, And then he receives you into his family, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. And now that becomes part of you. So I think this is what Jesus was describing, the spiritual birth of all of us being born. And once that happens, according to so many passages of Scripture in the Christian Scriptures, now begins a process of transformation, a process where we're changed from this natural person that we were into a true son and daughter of God, and we slowly become more and more like him and less like the old self. Paul often uses the image of walking to your closet in the morning, and what are you going to put on, you know? This morning I decided to put on a slightly pink and white Rio Coco Cafe shirt. I had a choice of what I was going to put on. And Paul says in a few places to his friends, put on the new self, take off the old self, and just toss it away. So it's a process. So yeah, this is, I agree, Rhett, this is one of the most significant teachings that Jesus gave, is you must have a birth from above, a spiritual experience, and become part of God's family.
Yeah, Jesus said, make sure that ye are born from above. So, by the way, if you notice between Mike and I is a bag of coffee. We do not solicit funds on this broadcast, but we do have a cup of friendship. We both decided that throughout the world, people get to know each other by a cup of friendship. You know, drinking coffee is a convivial, which means a social experience. And Mike has been in the business, so now we have our own line. There are three flavors. I forget what
three,
they are.
Three blends. We have Kindred Spirits, a hearty handshake, and our other blend. I'll think of it in just a moment.
What's the website?
It's acupoffriendship.com.
And that's all you need to know, folks. And we're enjoying a cup of friendship right now. And you
cupoffriendship.com, yes. And this one that we're this morning is a hearty handshake. It's a blend of our Honduras Blue Mountain Dark Roast, our Sumatra Rain Medium Roast, and our Columbia Mile High Medium Roast. And this is all roasted right here at the Rio Coco Cafe Roastery in Vero Beach, Florida.
All right.
We roast on Tuesdays and Fridays. We roasted yesterday, and we actually sent out some bags of a hearty handshake to one of our friends and another of a kindred spirit to another friend. And so thank you very much for enjoying our coffee. And we encourage you. This whole process of discipleship and evangelism is a very natural one. It's a very relational one. It's all about spending time with people that God has placed around you and being friendly. We're going to talk about this a little bit, I think, later in our session today. But just the friendship that comes over sharing meals and sharing coffee and tea, getting to know one another and letting God do the work that he very naturally does.
Okay, we're going to start off in the Beatitudes.
Okay.
Did you want me to read all of them at once?
Well, let me just follow up with just what you said, Rhett, as we get into this, because once you have a born-again experience, a birth from above, now begins a process of discipleship, where we actually are disciples, followers of Jesus. And now, what does that look like? How are we going to walk this out as we're living in this world? Well, I think one of Jesus's most famous teachings took place at a place along the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And you can go to this spot today. It's called Mount of the Beatitudes. There's a church there with a red or a pink dome, and it overlooks an area that you're looking down over this kind of concave little valley, and the shoreline is there. There's when I first saw it back in 97, it was just agricultural, growing different crops. Now there's been a banana plantation there for a number of years. But the interesting thing about this area, Rhett, is the basaltic rock has the sound attenuation qualities that you can actually be 600 yards up the slope of the hillside and you can hear the voice of a man standing down by the shore. And one company placed microphones around this whole area, and they actually determined that you could be 600 yards away and still hear a person talking in a normal voice. Now, I find that to be extraordinary that the creator of this universe would just arrange the geological formations, knowing that at some point in history, he would become a man and give one of his most significant teachings to a large crowd, and everybody would be able to hear him without any sort of electronic amplification.
Yeah,
it's really cool. I mean, if you just think of these little details, like, okay, wow, Jesus is going to give this great teaching, and all these people are going to be listening, and they can all hear him. I think it's pretty sweet. The other consideration is we have to remember that Jesus is speaking in probably Aramaic. He might be speaking in Greek. Matthew is writing it and recording it in the Greek language, and we're reading it in English. And so there's often problems that come up when you're going from one language to another, okay? One of my most humorous situations in dealing with multiple languages is back in 1989, I was living in a refugee community in the remote eastern corner of Honduras among the Miskito culture. And a friend of ours from La Ceiba, a young girl named Maria Belinda Montoya, wanted to learn English, so we invited her to come and live with us in our community called Alca, which is south of Puerto Limpira, and it's just close to Cabo Gracias a Dios, which is that pointy end where the Coco River comes into the Caribbean. And Maria Belinda came, and she was learning English, and I'm going to just hold this picture up here, if I can. Maybe we can see it.
Yeah.
It's a picture of me with my spider monkey, Oogly.
Yeah. Now, on the radio, they can't see it, but you saw, wow, that's a spider monkey on your chest.
Well, I'm holding Oogly. Yeah, we got him as just some kid brought him to us. He's just literally a little baby monkey. We raised him, and he ran around our house, and he was a very friendly guy. Well, Maria Belinda was holding Oogly.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Healing is here.